Hello, and you are listening to I Am a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I Am a Diva podcast. I am a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, going to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast. Hello, and you're listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, Edgy V, and we're back with another amazing episode. This is season 3, episode 3. And today we're talking to an incredible artist recognized for her distinctive soulful vocal tone and classic British songwriting. Miri, stylized in all cap, has won fans across the globe with her brand of soulful pop. Her music has garnered support from Gemma Carney at BBC Six Music, LAFTA at Represent Radio, Clash Magazine, BBC Introducing, and she has spoken to BBC Radio London at Few Bar Radio about her music releases. During Mental Health Awareness Week, London and Stereo featured a playlist curated by Miri to highlight tracks which convey important messages about mental health. Miri has performed her music in male prisons to spread awareness of LGBTQ topics and was part of Circuit in association with the Mayor of London after being handpicked by Hyper Frank and Field Day Festival co-founder Tom Baker. She has curated, hosted, and performed for venues including in the South Bank Center for Ray's Collective and has co-hosted for the Get In Her Ears radio show.
I am here for you, like you've been here for me. Just breathe. You can call on me, I'll be the safe space that you need.
And we're going to talk about her upcoming projects in just a little bit, but first we're going to say hi. Hi, Miri.
Hello. Hello. Good to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on to the show. So excited to talk to you. This is my favorite question to kind of start off the podcast, is kind of to people who've never heard about you, to kind of get a little bit of a background information about you in terms of your music journey. How did it all begin? Did you come from a musical family? Did you study music? Like, where did it all start for you? Let's start there.
So I've been doing music now for many years, and I was originally really passionate about film and acting, but I'd always written songs. And to cut a long story short, in my teens, a tape that I had recorded of some songs was passed on to an A&R at music publishers, and they were interested in signing me. Things didn't manifest, but it was enough of an experience that showed me, oh, I could actually do this as a career. It was more a passion, like writing songs, a way to express myself. It wasn't something that I thought I could actually fulfill as a professional. So having people in the music industry feel what I was doing and show that love made me realize this could be the path for me. And throughout that time, I've just been on many ups and downs, which has been really necessary in some ways. For example, again, I think it must have been in my early 20s, I was signed to a management and was very close to getting signed, but I hadn't dealt with my sexuality at the time. And I was throwing everything into my music, and it was like the music was my partner. And instead of processing and dealing with what I had to inside, I just pushed it out there because I didn't realize I could be happy within my sexuality. I didn't even know. It was just something that was so buried, that music was my sort of, oh, God, that's what will make me happy, instead of going within. So yeah, through many years, I'm still here. I've had times where I've felt, should I really still be doing this? But it's just, yeah, I've just come to the conclusion now after so many years, like, this is me. And I don't see myself doing anything else. And I wouldn't be the person or creative that I am if I hadn't have gone through those hardships. So yeah, just gratitude to still be here making music and connecting to people.
That's wow. I really appreciate your level of openness. We've just started the episode and you're like diving right deep there with us, and I really appreciate that. I love that. I have to ask you, now that we're kind of touching upon about, like, you know, sexuality and things like that. And you mentioned, you know, in your bio that you've performed in a male prison and talking about LGBTQ topics. I have to ask, how did that come about? How did that even get organized to even take place? This is like, you know, like, wow to me.
Yeah, so I have an artist friend called Minnie Burt, and she's incredible. She does a lot of work in male prisons, and she got funding, or did like a crowdfunder. She set up her own charity called Josie Dear, after her grandmother. And she wanted to fund for musicians to come into these male prisons that she did work at to perform. And she wanted to do one for LGBT History Month. And one of the prisons that we performed at, we actually made history because they'd never had an LGBT plus event. So that was very special. And we did two in a day. And yeah, that's how that came about. And so I performed my music and then did a Q&A, spoke a little bit about music, more so the first Q&A. But then through those two events, I then got an invitation for another prison to perform. And that was really, really deep, actually. That was kind of like the first prison, it was in a big chapel. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where I was like, what am I doing? and it was just, some people were there not for the event because it meant that they didn't have to, you know, be other places. So it was kind of like, okay, here we go. But the feedback forms as well, like Minnie did some feedback forms and we got some really beautiful feedback, you know, like, which was just kind of showed the importance of events like that, because no one, especially at that first prison, was officially out, but the feedback form was showing that this provided a safe space for them to kind of feel themselves again. So that led to another event, which was just myself, and it was quite like an intimate gig, really. And there were questions about being LGBT plus and music and various other things. I felt it was very important as well as a woman, because there can still be so many stereotypes, misconceptions, being queer, being a woman, and just having that space to connect was really important. And yeah, I just remember after the third event, it really kind of made me question a lot within myself, because it's so easy to make judgments sometimes. And it pushes, yeah, it pushes me to keep growing and keep being open. And yeah, doing that type of work is very important. I mean, that prison were going to invite me back, but then we had the pandemic, so that obviously hasn't happened, but yeah, that is the type of work that I would very much want to do more of in the future.
That's absolutely incredible, and what you're doing, like you said, is very important work. And I feel like the people like in prisons are kind of sort of left like the shadows of society, and they're not at all kind of nourished in either cultural or, you know, creative ways. And it's just, it's something that kind of needs to happen, because it's kind of like, it's really hard to come back from that. But someone who's like, you know, it's really interesting conversation to have, because it's actually a recent conversation I had with someone, and just to realize how hard it is for people to come back from being, have been in a prison environment and not have had someone to take the time to even, like you said, to even nourish them or nurture them with new information, with new insights that they can kind of ponder during that time, apart from kind of self-loathing in their own thoughts of why they're there to begin with. So it's so healing to hear your contribution in that way. And it's absolutely beautiful. Also kind of what you mentioned before, before you kind of came to terms with your sexuality and you talking about you connecting with your music in such a powerful way before that, because you were channeling so much of that energy, and then you kind of saying where it has led you now to kind of talking about these particular topics and in kind of how you managed to turn it in such a 360 type of way. And do you feel like your musical journey has given to you and kind of your own self-acceptance in such a way once you've come to those terms, and then, you know, where you have arrived now, like, do you feel like that the music journey has had such a powerful impact in further accepting yourself and all that you are?
Yeah, definitely, because you can't hide who you are. Like, even writing a song, I remember one of my songs, Electric Vibes, which is probably around from 2015, it's not long ago, but I remember even questioning, like, do I put she in there, because the song was about a woman. Mm-hmm. And that felt, it left me quite vulnerable. And I remember a sort of unofficial music mentor I had at the time, a friend who showed so much love and belief in what I was doing, and he was like, yeah, you know, I think that's a good call, because I was actually, should I do this? It's such a little thing, but once you do that, you're really putting yourself out there. And I think sometimes people can think, oh, well, they're running these live music events, they're you know, they're kind of talking about it, they're out. But you come out at different stages of your life. Mm. So every gig I do, I guess, until like I sing a song that might reference a woman in a as a love interest, people, unless people are doing their research, they're not going to know about my backstory and who I am. So yeah, definitely. And I guess I remember reading a book, and the author was saying, tell your story, don't be afraid to tell your story. And there are certain things that I may experience or have experienced or am experiencing that I don't feel is for others, maybe never, maybe, or at least at this stage in my life. But there's certain things that are my story and my experience that I feel is important for me to share. And music has definitely given me that platform to continue to challenge me, to push me, to scare me. I'm confident on one hand in my sexuality, but there's definitely times when I'm in certain scenarios where I'm like, oh, this is a bit scary, and it continues to push me. And I think the self-acceptance for me anyway, it's not like I get to a point where I'm like, yeah, I love myself fully. It's ups and downs. And with sexuality, there can still be levels of self-loathing as well. And I grew up in the 80s, and I've mentioned this, I guess, on posts or I wrote an article recently around the time of Section 28. So I was in primary school when that came about. Now, I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm bi, I'm queer, I'm this. But the fact that we didn't have books, we didn't have nothing, there was nothing on TV. So I was feeling all these feelings and had no reference. So again, just continuing to push that down. And so I guess music, now I'm making up for that time. It's kind of, even if certain things scare me, it's still important for me to, I have a privilege where I can share, and I know that can benefit other people. And as long as I'm coming from an authentic place, that's the most important thing. And I remember once being out in Soho a few years back, and there was this young woman who was having a drink with me and my friend, and she was in the UK for work, but she was from Russia. Mm-hmm. And she was just sort of sharing with us how difficult and scary it is there. And she was just so happy when we were in one of the gay bars, and she just so much joy. Yeah, and yeah. And yeah, for me, I wanna, there's so many people who sometimes say, if they're not aware of it, oh yeah, it's so much better in this country, isn't it? And it's like, well, no, it's really not. In the UK, yes, we've come a long way, but obviously we're dealing with transphobia, we're dealing with a right-wing government, and there's so many other things that I won't go into, but we can't get complacent, and we have to keep talking about it. And it is going to make people uncomfortable, but that is necessary to keep talking. And I don't like that word normalize in this context, but again, when you're born into the world and you feel you have a loving heart, and all you're doing is feeling love for, you know, someone of the same sex or what have you, you shouldn't be told that you're going to hell or that. Yeah, you know, we need to keep talking. And I think if people have a platform and provided they feel comfortable, that's going to help and support and inspire others on their journey.
I really, really appreciate everything you're like shining the light on. And I feel like all the level of like unacceptance that is mirrored to you from society, it's really its own non-acceptance of its own shadows within itself, like, and it's kind of like a collective shadow that we're all kind of coming out of, really, when you think about it, and it will continue mirroring back to us until we sort of like keep transmuting it. And like you said, it's like there's so many different little, like, once you kind of shine light on one area, before you know it, there's so many other dusty little corners that have still not been acknowledged. And like you said, it's going to be a continuous process of coming into full acceptance of your own kind of consciousness and your collective consciousness and what it is to be even human and to have the human experience and the spectrums of sexuality. And you know, it's still so much of a learning process for even people who are learning to accept their own sexuality and exploring it. That in itself, even for them, it's still like there's still so much to unravel, and there's still so much we're constantly learning and evolving into. And it's just been, you know, I think it's quite in some ways, like you said, there's still like so much darkness there, but it's also such a beautiful journey to think of where you're talking about, of where you remember in the 80s where it all began and now kind of where things are. And I know when I'm talking about like sustainability, say for example, and even thinking of as an example, like compostable cups for coffee and how long that took for it to even come around, to see it kind of most shops having it now, like most shops have compostable cups now, where I'm thinking like years back this was kind of a discussion and still so many places didn't have that integrated, and how long it takes for things to integrate. Do you see what I'm getting at? So it's the same with new ways and new systems, and what you said, the importance of continuing to talk and talk and talk about it, and like you said, having the spaces to be able to bring up the discussion. So absolutely beautiful that I'm talking to you about this right now, and thank you so much for continuing the conversation. So we're going to talk a little bit about your upcoming projects. You said you're working on a new single called Trends. You'll be doing a gig in Surbiton, isn't it, around August, to raise funds to help finish and release the track, and also Find Your Voice brand merch you have, which I've seen on your story today, which you developed this during the first lockdown as a way to earn extra money due to not being able to gig. So it's taken on a life of its own, and the slogan has resonated with many people, which I do. I actually love the phrase, find your voice. And kind of what we're talking about right now is kind of continuing to have a voice, practicing to share your voice and putting it out there. And it's just so many layers to such a small little phrase. So let's go back to first the single Trends. Tell me a little bit about Trends.
Sure. So I wrote Trends a few years ago with a friend of mine, and it's a song that I remember at the time, I just felt, oh, I haven't got a song that if I was performing at a festival, I could get the crowd hyped. And so we wrote this song, and every time I performed it live, like I performed it at an amazing venue that's now sadly closed due to gentrification, a place called Passing Clouds, which was near Dorston. And an artist called Natty used to run an event there called Vibes and Pressure. And I performed a few times there. And I remember performing Trends with a small band. And yeah, the crowd just, they didn't know the song, but they're like singing along to it. And I always find that really helpful performing songs I've written before I record them, because you get an energy from the crowd and you can feel what works and what might need a bit more fine tuning. And Trends just seems to really connect. So I was in the studio a few weeks ago with a producer called Simon Wiley, and he produced my last single, Just Breathe. And what's actually quite nice is usually I've done crowdfunders and there's always been major deadlines. Whereas with Just Breathe and with this track, there isn't. So we can sort of take our time. And one of the things that I've really wanted to do is just have space to hone my recording sound more. So before the pandemic, I would gig so much and with different, you know, sometimes myself and keys, sometimes with musicians. And that gave me the opportunity to really just build my presence on stage and find who I was as a performer. And but when it comes to recording, if you don't have a budget for studio, if you don't have your own studio, that's quite difficult. So literally the times when I've been able to work on my sound is when I've had deadlines to record an EP. So we've been working away on that, and it's really lovely working with Sai. He really gets what I want to achieve and has so much experience and a real humility as well. So I feel very comfortable and safe working with him in the studio. And yeah, I mean, I'm sort of applying for music funding because I want to record a whole EP again. I got turned down for recent music funding, which is fine. It happens. You just have to kind of keep working on your application and taking on their feedback and then going back at it. But in the meantime, I don't want to stop releasing music. And so with Trends, I really want to release that as the next single. And so originally before the pandemic for Just Breathe, I was going to do a little local fundraiser for that one. But for Trends, Surbiton, which is Kingston upon Thames, in the UK, is they're just amazing, such an amazing crowd, and they show me a lot of love. So I know someone who has put an event on there before, so I just reached out to him and was like, would you be up to help me with this? And he was like, of course, we can do a little fundraiser. So I'm going to aim to do that in August, and basically the funds will help with finishing the track, so mastering the track. Also, when releasing the track, I work with PR just to help with more reach. And so that's what the costs will be going towards. And yeah, I'm sort of winging it at the moment. Usually there's a plan of like, we're going to do this, release this here. But I'm just, I've only got so much in me to, I think it's so important to manage your energies. And I'm going to keep going with the funding applications. But in the meantime, I'd really love to get Trends finished and get it out to people. And I feel, again, it will be a track that will, or what that I would like and hope will resonate with people positively.
Beautiful. Now let's talk a little bit about Find Your Voice. So let's talk about, kind of like you said, you obviously were looking to make a little bit of extra money over the lockdown and how it's taken a mind of its own. Tell us a little bit about when you kind of started to notice it kind of picking up and doing its own thing, and when that happened and kind of where it is now.
Sure. I guess like every now and again, I just look to see how many I've sold. And there were just a few times when I'd look and I'd be like, wow, that's really cool. And from a financially, it's just so helpful, because as we're saying, like, you know, haven't been able to gig, and just have, I mean, it's not like I'm going and I'm like gonna buy a big car. It's just going to electricity or just extra bills or expenses, and it just helps in such a major way. But I guess as time's gone on, just seeing how it's just resonated with so many different people, and it is a universal message. Like, I run one-to-one and group vocal and songwriting workshops called Find Your Voice. I didn't come up with the slogan. Alex, who did the design, he did double check that it wasn't taken from apparel, so I can confirm that it is fine to be used. But yeah, it was just, it was something that I used for my work anyway. And then using it with these t-shirts, with the vest tops, hoodies, etc. It's just connected with people. And what makes it real is when people tag you in a post. And it's just this moment that I sometimes have this moment of, oh, there's actually people out there in the world who are wearing my, you know, my brand. Even like, I'm on a thing called the Beat Board for an organization called the Featured Artist Coalition, and I was in a Zoom meeting a few weeks ago, and one of the Beat Board members was wearing my hoodie. I was like, that's so cool. It's just like everywhere. But yeah, it's, I promote it on my socials, and it's not my main thing, but it's so lovely to know that it's resonating with people. And I usually put my Find Your Voice t-shirt on when I feel like I need a bit of extra strength. And some of the people who wear it, they seem to say that as well. When they need a little bit of extra support that day, they'll put on whatever they've bought, hoodie or t-shirt, and it gives them a little bit of comfort and backup. And that's what I want it to be for people.
My God, I absolutely love everything that you've mentioned there and everything that it stands for as well. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about kind of maintaining your authenticity and the fact that you know, you didn't just slap on something on a t-shirt and kind of says, you know, I hope I make some money from paying my bills and getting by, but you still maintain that kind of grounded authenticity in everything that you do, and how it kind of goes to show that you're kind of, you know, teach what you preach and kind of walk your talk and things like that. And it goes to show that in the end, it really does resonate with people. And it's those things that, you know, that authenticity resonates with other people and their authenticity. And you know, those things are, like you said, universal and transcend time. And, you know, later down the line, if you think of it like 50 years down the line, that same phrase is still going to be so relevant. That phrase is not something that's going to go out of date, like, you know, like some hippie phrase in the 70s or something like that. And, you know, people are like, yeah, people don't say that anymore, dude. Like, nobody says dude anymore. But like when you say, but when you say Find Your Voice, you're like, that's always going to resonate no matter what. So I really like that, the weight of that, you can kind of really feel it. We're going to jump into the part of the podcast called I'm a Diva 5 Questions. Miri, are you ready?
I am so ready.
Number one is, what's the best pep talk or phrase another diva has given you?
I'm going to go for pep talk here. And it's an amazing woman called Dr. Talene. And she basically helped me to understand that what I have gone through in my past, I can use that to push forward instead of allowing it to hold me back. And there were times when I was allowing it to hold me back and being hard on myself. And she helped me to realize that if it wasn't for those experiences, I wouldn't be the creative that I am today. And that's what drives my work. So yeah, big love, Dr. Talene. You are awesome.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. So number two, what do you think the ultimate diva day or night consists of doing?
It's got to be traveling. Traveling to Barcelona, Berlin, Rotterdam. And throughout those journeys, being in the studio, doing a gig, and socializing with friends.
Oh my God. Like myself visualizing, like, yeah, that's, I want to do that this summer. I want to do that. I want to do exactly that. Can I have that? Can I have that dream?
You can. Of course you can.
Thank you. Number three, what is your ultimate diva song that really gets you into your, like, your diva energy?
You know what? It was tough. I was thinking either, because I love Aretha Franklin, but I'm going to go with Big Mama Thornton, Hound Dog. And she was the original vocalist on that. And when I hear that song, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. Let me go into that meeting or that, you know. Oh, yeah. I love Big Mama Thornton. That's my diva song.
Love that. Love that. Number four. Can you describe your ultimate diva comeback?
Yeah, so in 2019, I was in hospital with a burst fibroid and I couldn't work for a few months and move around and what have you. And then I would say probably the pandemic hit. And then I've had like this year where I haven't had to travel around, and that's really helped my body recoup and my mind as well, because when you go through anything physically challenging, it really affects you mentally. So that's my big diva comeback, because I really feel so grateful and in such a better space physically. And it has take, when you Google it and you're like, how long does this take to recover from? It's like 3 weeks, a month. But yeah, a year, over a year, it's taken me to, I would say, fully recover. So that is my big diva comeback. And I'm so proud of myself.
Oh my God. Well done, girl. Well done. Cause it, I can like hear I can hear the struggle in your voice, the struggle that you had to experience. And now I feel like the proud liberty of you arriving back to your body in that way. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what it is, arriving back to your body. Even like when I'm walking, I'm just so grateful, because literally, like I had a friend, I ended up staying at a friend up the road from me, and someone else local put me in a wheelchair to wheel me up to my friends, because I couldn't walk because the pain was that bad. And as far as I'm aware, they haven't developed any specific painkillers for it. So it's really, I can take a lot, but that was a whole other level. And then even when I'd had the operation, you're then recovering from that as well. So it is very much ongoing. But I will say a big shout out to Help Musicians UK, who gave me funding for counseling and also some financial support during the time when I wasn't able to work. So Help Musicians UK are phenomenal.
That's beautiful. Oh my gosh. It's like, it kind of goes to show as well that when, you know, I think the biggest challenge a lot of people have is kind of asking for help. We're all kind of, especially when we become adults, we're all sort of like, you should be able to take care of yourself. So when you actually need to ask for help, it becomes kind of like this wall that you need to climb over. So sometimes like those moments, not that they're, you know, fortunate, but and when they do happen and you feel you receive all of the support that you didn't even know was there, it becomes another layer of kind of gratitude and kind of realizing, wow, like no matter what, I'm always supported, no matter what, I've always something to fall back on. And you know, do you know what I mean? Like it's gonna be okay. And knowing that sometimes is kind of it creates more trust in your reality and more your experience moving forward. And it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. The last question for I'm a Diva 5 questions is, what would be your diva dream? Anything at all? Please don't.
I know this. Yeah. So it was always a little dream when I used to watch the L Word to have a song on it. But then the L Word finished and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to let that one go. But now we have L Word Generation Q. So my dream is to have a small part in it, even if it's like would you like a coffee, or just that's $2, please. And have a song on it. Even if I'm singing someone else's song, that would be my diva dream. The L word, Generation Q, to have a small part and to have a song in some shape and form on this, on one of their series.
Ooh, nice. Nicely done. Very specific also, might I add. So I guess, Miri, I'm going to jump into kind of wrapping this up a little bit in a way where I want to kind of hear your perspective in the music industry. Not only, you know, are you a woman in the music industry? Like you said, we were talking about a kind of like your sexuality and what has been your music industry experience as a female and everything else that you've been experiencing. Like you said, there's been a lot of people that have supported you a lot along the way and have kind of, you know, it helped you see different angles to things and kind of helped the kind of nurturing aspects of you in that way. What has been the good, the bad, and what would you like say to anybody out there that has experienced anything that you'd be like, that really helped me? Like any advice?
Advice wise, I would say surround yourself with good people. That is so important. And don't be afraid to get support when you need it, whether it's counseling, whether it's reaching out to a friend or a loved one just to share and offload any difficult moments, because the industry and being a creative, is a beautiful thing. Put that with the industry or working as a creative, it is a business. So you can create something that's from your heart and soul, and you know it resonates with people, but then you have people in the business, or you might not get recognized, you might have people telling you it's rubbish. So surround yourself with good people, because the reality is we're not always going to believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's good to have people out there who know us and believe in what we're creating and what we're doing and what we're about. That would be my advice. And my positives from doing music and being in and out of the industry is, I think, the people that I've met. If I hadn't have followed a path in music, and which led me to running live music events and so many other little adventures, I wouldn't have met the people that I've met. I wouldn't have traveled in the way that I have. Like, it's given me an excuse to travel, which is one of my greatest loves. So the people has been just so special and magical. The challenge is, I'm so glad that so many people, either in the queer community or women in music, have started to speak out recently, or I'd say I've noticed it personally in maybe the last 4 years, because there are so many things that I experienced that I didn't realize, oh, that's because you're a woman. Like, I remember being in a vocal session doing some work for these songwriters, and there was a guy in there who his role was vocal technician. And he was trying, I didn't realize that's what he was doing at the time, but what I realized after is that he was trying to put me down and make me look like I wasn't that great at what I do in order to look good himself. And so that's been the challenges, I guess, just sort of dealing with things like that. Yeah. In different sort of areas. And even like with this, one of the feedback for this funding application form was, again, I don't know how it was just a comment someone was reading when I called to get feedback. So I don't know if it fully paints the whole picture of the comment, but the person had put, we're not sure if she's looking to break out of the LGBT plus community. And it's like, you're just not getting what I'm about. If first of all, I'm not feeling that comment because it's just so closed-minded in so many ways. And I think, again, that is part of the industry. It can be very boxed in. But also I always see myself as a universal artist. And in the same way that when I did that third prison gig, when I performed and I said, look, I'm not expecting you to like what I do, but I'm just here to share my heart and artistry. And that's what I do as a creative. So regardless of whether it's the LGBT plus community, whether it's at a folk gig, an industry gig, I'm here and I've got my heart open and I'm ready to put that out there. So whoever wants to gravitate to it, then that's amazing. But don't box me in.
Yeah. Beautifully said, Mary, beautifully said. Everything that you mentioned today heavily resonated with me, and I really appreciate, like you said, your level of openness and heart openness throughout this whole conversation we had throughout the episode. Anything else you want to mention in terms of your music or anything at all, anything upcoming, anything you want to mention to leave on the last note before we finish up the episode today?
Just if you'd like to stay connected, you can sign up to my mailing list. Go to my website, miriofficial.com. My socials are at miriofficialuk. And you can also stream some of my music on an ethical streaming company. Is that the right way of putting it? Called Sunstream. And again, the links are all on my website. So just head there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you so much for all our listeners. We hope you really enjoyed this episode. I know I enjoyed talking to Miri today, and I can't wait for Trends to come out and, you know, everything else is going to come with you forward. I know it's going to be incredible, and I can't wait for you to get back performing in prisons and here reporting back on your social media, I hope, where you can share a little bit of how that's going and your experiences on it. I'd love to hear it. Yeah. So to all our listeners, until next time, this was Edgy V, your talk show host.
I'm a Diva podcast launched their Patreon account. So if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now and thank you so much for your support.